Blog Talk Radio.
Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudge Book will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers, find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in. Grudge Inc. Grudge Book. Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs. Being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon. Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudge Book will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers, find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in. Grudge Inc. Grudge Book.
This morning, I'm glad that everybody has definitely made it back here for another week of the Bread Man One Time Show. We got a great show for y'all. This morning, you know that the Bread Man always have a 1 minute devotional, inspirational moment. We're going to go ahead and get started, and hopefully, you know what I mean, with all you callers that are calling in, I want to, first of all, apologize for last week of just running out on you. Y'all know how emergencies are. And second of all, I want to thank all of y'all for calling back this weekend. Y'all know how life treats us. With that being said, I want to basically hold on, it sounded like my line was acting up. Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, that was your line doing that. You got a lot of background noise.
Is it still or no?
Yeah, you sound clearer now. Go to mute. Let me read this right quick. That way we won't have that kind of background noise. Yes, fellas and ladies, we are gonna have a special tech talk from the double up game. Y'all know who that is, Jimmy Marino and Chris Nelson at Nelson Engines and Performance and Competition. With that being said, I want to dedicate this show to a very close big brother of mine who passed away last Monday, Tommy Panner. We love you. We're going to miss you. I want to dedicate this show to you. This particular passage and reading goes out to you. God hears your cry. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. It is essential for you to realize that you are never completely alone and that you are not without friends in this harsh world. Jesus, the living Christ, has promised to never leave nor forsake us. He offers you his friendship, and all that he asks from you is to be obedient to his commandments of love. Secure in this knowledge, you have the assurance of his consistent persistence in your life. He has already heard your call of distress and answered your prayers. With that being said, let's go into prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, you know our deepest sorrow and hear our sighs. Help us, O Lord, never to forget that you alone are our salvation and support. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for those that got on the highways and byways this weekend. We hope that they made it home safely to their loved ones. For the ones that may have gotten injured over the weekend, we ask that you aid them. Help them, oh, Heavenly Father, through their times of sorrow. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you right now for our friends and family. We want to ask that you continue to show us favor on this earth. All these blessings and more, we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to the Bread Man One Time Show. We're now going to bring in here our tech men. Good morning, Mr. Jimmy. What's going on, my brother?
Not much. Long weekend.
Okay. Yes, you did have a long weekend. We had a lot of clients that text me over the weekend with a lot of tech talk questions. Hopefully they are on the line. And we got to get our other main man in here. There he is. Hold on one second. Good morning.
How you doing, sir?
Just fine. How are you this morning?
Tired. I got a long weekend. Happy with the racing and South Georgia Motorsport.
Okay. I don't know if it's my line or what, but we're having a lot of static. Hopefully, if y'all callers, if y'all hearing any interference out there, let me know so I can call in and find out what's going on. But
can you hear me better now?
Oh yeah, that's very clear. Very clear. Yes.
Well,
yes.
The reason I want to go to the show, I want to tell thank you all the guys over there in South Georgia. You know what I mean? I got to say, I'm very, very impressed with Kelly.
Okay.
He did a hell of a drive on Saturday morning in that car. I'm very impressed. That car, he did a hell of a job. I want to say thank you, Kelly, to let me tune the car and tune the chassis. And I'm very impressed. The first time I go over there, I put too much. Go on the bumper, pedal, go sideways, pedal, go on the bumper again. Oh, my God. He's keeping the car out of the wall. Same thing with Bigler. I appreciate it. Let me work in his car and everything. He's got the same thing on a Saturday morning. He's almost making it to the 8 mile in a bad bumper. So, well, we got a good time. Big Love, we got the car Big Love figured out pretty well. We got a T5 car, fastest ever. I tell you this, I'm very, very, I can't say the numbers, but I'm not allowed to do that because I told him I promised that. I'm very, very impressed with the numbers. It's unbelievable. The numbers, everything. 60 foot, 330, 8 miles, miles per hour, everything. I told you this, wrong big time. I never think that car, it can give that numbers, never. I still surprised, you know what I mean? It's just like we got a probably wrong ticket in that car, you know?
Right.
So we got away. The guy on the Silver Camaro, I'm sorry, he did a pretty good too. You know what I mean? He's qualified number 16. He's only got a, we broke the transmission, converter. We got all the stuff back together. First pass, we go 540s. Second pass, 35. Third pass, 25. And the third pass, we tweaking a little harder. And we heard the cylinder number 2. And in the last round, but we think it was like 519, something like that. We heard the motor in T52 in the last pass, try to make it go the numbers we never expect. So we heard
right.
The numbers cylinder number 2, you know?
Right, right. Well, let me introduce you to the show. I know, you know, we know who you are, but the callers don't know who you are. This is Artilio with AA Performance that is talking on the line for the morning show. He has a chassis engineering shop down in West Palm Beach. He does Mustangs and G-Bodies. He's the one that basically done Eric's car, that Malibu, the wagon. He does a lot of Mustangs, and he also did a lot of work to Big Lowe's car, and this is currently the man who is has the bread man one time a Malibu down there as well. So
yes, sir.
But you do not, you know, he's just not someone that's calling in. He is definitely someone that does a lot of chassis work. You can look him up online at AAPerformance.com or on Facebook. You can find him as well. You know, Artilio, thank you for giving us your two cents and what goes on the racing went down at Valdosta. You can hold the line. I'm not going to, you know, mute your mic or whatever. You can come in when need be. With that being said, we're going to get back
yes,
to.
Yes, I want to, like I said, I want to okay. Say thank you to all the guys, you know what I mean? Big Low, DeFi, Gucci, Oscar, you know what I mean? All the guys give me the opportunity, you know, in short, that I know I can do it. And a little people, a little tension, but, you know what I mean? The first time, every time, you know what I mean? I put all the cars in a bumper, but, you know, but the second pass, you know what I mean? You got the incredible numbers. And I want to say thank you so much. They give me the opportunity to show that I can do it. You know so what I'm saying? And it's not going to have a problem with the car, you know? And, That's what I want to say. Thank you. It's probably this guy is listening to the show now, so I want to say thank you, Kelly, Gucci, Bigelow, Asco, you know, all the people in the track. I got 17 cars in the track that nobody can go on the track. My cars go on the track. You know what I mean? No problem. You know what I mean? With incredible numbers, you know?
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, and, you know, I really want to say, you know, you listen in every weekend, and I want to thank you for that, at least having you nearby to listen to the chassis questions that we may have and being here for our show on the Bread Man and Jimmy Marino and Chris Nelson show, and also, you know, you have access as well. So thank you, Artilio. For calling in, and I'm sure those guys are listening. I don't know if Big Low gets up this early, but I know Crew Chief and T5.
That's a good one. All righty, man. Have a good day.
Okie doke. We are back. We do have a caller, Jimmy, with his hand up. You still there, Jim?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, You want me to get that other line? You gonna go ahead and go into your segment, or you wanted to
Do we have Chris on the line?
Not yet. No,
I
haven't seen him.
He'll be calling in a minute. If you want to take that caller, and we'll wait for Chris to get on the line. We're gonna kind of do a bounce off from questions back and forth. We're gonna do kind of like an impromptu. I'll play racer. Chris is gonna play engine. Tuner type guy, and we're going to bounce some stuff off each other on how perceptions are and all that. So we kind of needed both of us to do that. So if you want to take that call,
we'll go to the lines. 678-3604. Your mic is hot. Welcome to the Bread Man, Jimmy Marino Show. How are you doing this morning, caller? Hello? Hello. Let me go to the next caller.
Hey, Birdman. Chris
good morning.
Nelson,
good morning. You live. What'd you say now?
Going live. Chris Nelson is on the line. He's on hold. You got to put him on.
I got him. He's live now. Good morning, sir. Chris Nelson, Performance Racing Engine.
How we doing?
Morning.
How we doing today, Breadman? Appreciate you having me on. Yeah, I was on hold in the queue listening to the show get kicked off this morning with Attilio from AA and the kind words about, as I know him, Anthony Evans' father from passing. As well, I'd like to add our deepest regrets and sympathy go out to Craig Miller's family as his father, Bobby Miller, passed away a week ago yesterday as well. Another loss to the racing community, and you know, somebody would be deeply missed. I always look forward to seeing them in all the races.
Most definitely. Mr. Miller, we have you in our prayers as well, in the Miller family. Most definitely. Well, good morning to you. Man, you had a busy weekend. They told me that all you did was ship parts back and forth and fly folks in to the shop over the weekend. Is that true, sir?
Fortunately, we were able to help out some racers in need. I made a decision early on in the week that I was going to stay back at the shop and work and just come up for the weekend on Saturday, and that ended up paying off for myself as well as some competitors in need. You know, we were getting repair calls, can you do this, are you willing to do this? You know, we were able to get some guys back on the track and race and sending parts back with other racers and shoot. You know how racers are. Last minute, you know, they'll spend more money on freight than what it takes for the part. And we were able to get some guys back on the track and racing again, so that worked out well. Then we were able to come up for Saturday and, you know, be hands-on, assist a couple other customers on their specific needs and be hands-on for another good show that, you know, Donald and his promotional staff put on. It was excellent. I was glad to see Jim Taylor there and got a chance to sit at the gate and speak with him for a while on some upcoming topics. You know, just a good weekend for small tire racing. The enthusiasm was at an all-time high, as always.
Awesome. Well, Jim had some things planned out. You know, this is you and Jim's show today. Bread Man is just here to get the calls in here for y'all. So y'all go right
ahead.
Yeah,
well, we had talked about is a common question that comes up between myself as an engine builder and or at times an advisor and a racer such as, you know, Jimmy slash tuner that, you know, hey, well, you know, first thing we come back from a run, we can't hurry up enough to get the card out of the race pack, stick it in the laptop and see what happens. And we can turn some of these opinions into facts by looking at the raw data and see what happens. And then at times, if I'm not on hand, we'll get on the phone, we'll talk about it. Hey, and we'll start going down our punch list of stuff of, you know, an order of importance. One question I wanted to pose to Jimmy and kind of go over some of the conversations that we commonly have is when you pull up your race pack, what would be the first thing you click on and what's on your top list of things that you want to look at in determining your next tuning change on site at the racetrack? I know what mine are, just I'd like to see what yours are.
Well, assuming assuming that we feel like we have the motor pretty well worked out, which is not where we're really headed with this conversation, the first thing I'd look at is dry shaft RPM in G meter. So obviously set my start times, so look at my dry shaft and my G meter, and take a relative look at that to what I'm expecting. When you're still tuning motor and you really don't have a complete handle on the motor combination and timing side, an important thing to look at is the hand vacuum. And it's something that Chris and I were talking about earlier about what hand vacuum does and relays back to you as far as what the timing and where in the run timing is accurate, and maybe where you step over the line and you start to cause some detonation. So, Chris, do you want to go into that? Is that kind of what you were looking for?
Well, that's what part of what I look for, being an engine guy, is I look at the parameters on the race pack that apply to my area of the combination. So, Jimmy may go and look at bottle pressures and, drive shaft and G-meter and things like that. First couple things I'll click up on. First one I'll glance over, click it on, make sure it looks okay, is the oil pressure. Because that's the lifeblood of a racing engine. So I'll look at that quickly, make sure everything looks like it's in line and have no issues. I'll cross that off my punch list, and I'll move on to the engine vacuum next, which is one of those things that we both use to determine the health of the engine, as well as where we're at with the tuning aspects of the engine. You very commonly can tune the timing curve of the engine, especially now with the integration of the grid box, putting a timing graph on top of a race pack screen. We can use that to really determine how happy the engine is as we're turning on nitrous systems and things of that nature. So one of the things that I look for in that regard is when the engine's safe and happy and not, in trouble as far as timing goes, you'll see a nice gradual increase over the course of the run of the crankcase vacuum. Now, that tells me that the engine's happy, there's no detonation, ring seal is good, pistons are good, everything in that nature is happy and working according to plan. Now, that being said, we add a little timing at some point, and we see that steady increase now turns into a flat line. We're kind of getting right where we need to be, and we'll usually find that be our sweet spot between performance and durability. As the car goes down the track and it gains vacuum, it's real safe, and I'll use the word conservative at times. We go down the racetrack and it maintains vacuum, it's probably a little faster in that sense. However, you're on the edge. Now, a scenario where we go down the racetrack and it loses crankcase vacuum as it goes down the track, that means the motor's unhappy. What I mean by that is you're losing the ring seal, whether it be from a damaged piston, a lifted ring land, a pinched ring, something of that nature, or you just, what I call, rattled the motor or detonated it, and it could even be brief, but it unsettles the ring from the cylinder wall, the vacuum starts to fall off, crankcase pressure starting to rise, and then you see that in the race pack data as a drop in crankcase vacuum. So those are some of the things that I'll look at as an engine guy to see the condition of the engine from a durability and or, as you want to call it, safety aspect to make sure there's no troubles. Part of my job is I'm trying to be less of a tuner advisor and offer these guys some insight on making their stuff as durable as possible, and then turning them over to guys like Jimmy, who specialize in on-site track tuning and finessing of these combinations. So I'll commonly field phone calls from Jimmy while he's at a race or at a test session tuning somebody's car, and he knows what he wants to do with the tune-up, but he sees something that may be a question mark. Hey, the vacuum seems to fall off in the gear change. Is that from the engine speed dropping and then the vacuum pump not being spun as fast? No, that's not the case. the case there would be you make the gear change, you load the motor, you pull it down closer to peak torque, and you see a little bit of the detonation. So Jimmy has the know-how and the flexibility with the ignition box and things like that to go in and pull timing out of that part of the run to keep the engine happy throughout. And that's some of the upsides to some more sophisticated electronics in the car, whether it be a digital ignition box from MSD, a grid system from MSD, and or the race pack data that we recovered and information from after the run. So that's some of the stuff that I look for as an engine guy. Now, my same question back at Jimmy, as being a on-site tuner from bumper to bumper on the car, he's responsible for, you know, drive shaft, G-meter, and everything else that necessarily isn't on real high on my punch list. You know, that's what I posed the question of was, what are your most important top-tier things that you look for, you know, when you get that data back up on the screen?
Well, yeah, obviously, we're trying to improve, you know, the ET of a car and how the car's running. You know, one of the first things I look at always is G-meter, dry shaft, engine RPM, battery voltage. Those are the first things I look at.
Sensors or feedback that gives you, say when you pull up the G-meter, what in fact are you looking for, and why do you rate that to be so important to you?
Well, G-meter is forward. Your G-meter reading is your true forward momentum of the race car, regardless of how much nitrous you add, regardless of anything else. That's giving you your true forward momentum. So if you can overlay G-meters from different runs, you'll always see the faster run. The G-meter was higher and maintained higher on your faster run, regardless of what your tune-up was. And on your slower run, it'll be lower. It is a true...
And just so you guys know, another term or thing that we call a G-meter is an accelerometer. So it's a rate of acceleration that we see. And you both have a, like Jimmy said, forward momentum, or if you see some of these cars get crossed up and sideways, we'll see a lateral G-meter as well for how much side movement you have in the car as well. So just a kind of a point of interest there.
And another thing I look for is I'll look at the dry shaft. If I see the G-meter doing something that I don't like, meaning dropping of some sort for any reason, I always relate that to, okay, what is the when that happened, what happened to the motor and what happened to the drive shaft? And right at that point, what caused that G-meter to drop? If I see my drive shaft, at the same time the G-meter drops, I see my drive shaft go up radically, then I know that it spun the tire and that's why the G-meter dropped. Vice versa, if I see my G-meter dropping and the drive shaft or the engine flattens out right there, and the drive shaft is just maintaining, what it means is it's just hooking the tire that needs a little power there. So there's different, you know, there's a lot of fine-tuning involved in that, but that is, you know, really for true car performance down the racetrack, that's what we're looking at. Now, what I always do is that's my first thing, to get a feel for. I do that first because I just watched a race car go down the racetrack, and I have in my head what I think the car did from my eyes and what I saw. And now I want to relate that to true data as quickly as I can, because I want to make sure that what I saw, what I think I saw, and what the raw data tells me are the same, or maybe if they're different, I need to understand why. Beyond
okay,
that,
quickly.
then I'll go into looking at, and I'll drop back after I figure all that out and look at oil pressures, look at pan vacuum, look at all that kind of stuff. Now that's
yeah.
The case when we're trying to improve the ET on a car. When we're trying to just get a baseline on a car, at that point we'll put a mediocre tune-up in it, not try to go too fast, but we'll go out there and tune the motor to make it safe, happy, and safe. And when we do that, that's when I would do the same thing Chris said. His first thing, come back, get my timing curve pretty darn close, get my air fuel mixture pretty darn close, get all that kind of stuff, and just make the trip down the racetrack and learn to make the motor happy. And then
quickly, Jimmy, let me add one thing. As an engine guy, what I'm looking for also related to the G meter, like Jimmy was saying, I'm going to look at the shift point and correlate what the engine is doing RPM wise up to the shift, and watch the G meter and make sure it's on the rise all the way to the shift point. If you see the G meter start to fall off without the drive shaft RPM increasing before the shift, you know the engine is just done making power at that given RPM, whether it be tune-up related, valve train related, or just the engine's just plain out of power there, and you've exceeded its range of power. So sometimes we'll make an adjustment in the shift point to try to speed the car up, whether it be up or down, by looking at the feedback that we get from the G meter and make sure that the car is accelerating all the way to the shift. Because if it's not accelerating all the way to the shift, then we need to make a change to make sure that we're getting that peak performance out of the engine while it's on the racetrack.
And that's a very valid point, Chris, as you move into that. I've seen cars where, you may want to shift this particular motor at 7,500 because that's what you think you should shift at. But you see and you watch your G meter, and consistently that motor, that combination, you see your G meter rise and go flat and start to drop at 7,000, 7,100. Well, guess what? If it's doing it just over 7,000, change your shift point to 7,000. Forget, at that point you forget that you think it should shift at 7,500. Go those facts of the race pack, and that's where raw data comes in. It's telling you that for some reason or another, this is where it's happening. This is where it's starting to lay over, and the motor's quit making power. And
or
if
like,
it's the lower
like
that you want it to be, that's where you talk to your engine guy.
And that where I come into play there, I'm going to ask you the questions of look at some of your older runs. Did the engine normally accelerate to that higher RPM, or has the G meter always fallen off here? And you may tell me, well, the first 20 runs I put on it, it ran up to 8,000, no problem, and the G meter was still climbing. Well, now I come back after the sitting out for the summer and come back to racing, and it runs to about 7,400, and the G meter falls off, and I'm still shifting at 8,000. The car is just slower than it usually is. Well, and that's in the case where I'm going to send you towards the direction of valve spring maintenance and say, hey, from what the engine didn't change, the cam is what it is, the cylinder has still flow the same. What has changed? And more than likely, the valve springs would need to be replaced at that point. If you see a change in the car's attitude or its performance, that has changed. Now, if that engine has always ran to 7,400 and kind of laid down, then that just may be where that induction system or engine combination wants to run to. So that's one of those things that we can use our data that we recover from the race pack in the car and see if we need to do some maintenance to the car and replacing valve springs, or if that's just a trend that's always how it is and that just we need to alter the shift point to maximize the combination. And that's some of the feedback that's key for me to get. Hey, do I need valve springs? Well, I don't know. Let's look at the race pack data and see. And that'll talk to us even before you take the valve cover off and pull them with the spring tester. So that's something that I look for, questions that I ask, and one of the reasons that we're a race pack dealer as well, so we can get some guys some of this information, in front of them and turn opinions into facts.
Hello? Well, yeah, I wanted to ask a question. If I, and this is basically probably to Jim, both of you really, if I don't have a race pack and I just may perhaps have a 7 AL box and I lock a race in off the trailer, how should I go about, should I go with full tilt or, how should I go about, what things can I do to basically make sure that I can get down that track accordingly? Or do I basically have to already have a tune-up? I'm just coming to this track. I've never ran at West Palm Beach or Orlando. I've never been to Orlando. That guy want to run me off the trail in Orlando. I mean, what do I do, and how should I set up something?
Jimmy, let me shoot a little bit of information at him first, and then you can follow me up.
Okay.
Jimmy, when I met him, he had very good equipment, you know, early on in his racing career. However, I didn't come up that way. I was in Breadman's situation that his question pertains to for a long time, where we had subpar stuff, was all we could afford, and we just, you know, were cutting our teeth with what we could get together. Matter of fact, I had a Nova of my own, had some ladder bars and a conventional head big block on it, and we had nothing. But what I always did was I kept good notes. So I maybe not had a race pack, but I had a notebook where I'd write down all of my timer settings, my timing retards, my air pressure in my tires, the weather conditions, the track conditions. I had a little infrared gun for checking track temperature. And I'd go up there and I'd look at the racetrack. And I wasn't up there looking at the racetrack because that's what the fast guys did. I looked at it, compared it to what I was used to at other tracks, and just made the educated guess and saying, okay, is this track better than my home track? Is it worse? Is it hot out? Is what? So I could go back to a setup that I maybe ran this same time of the year, these same weather conditions, on a marginal racetrack, and I'd go make the adjustment with my tire pressure, my wheelie bar height, the timing of the engine on the leave, the timing of the timers of when I turned on multiple systems. And I'd go out there and I'd make my first run a run that I wasn't trying to overpower it. I try to make a run I know I could make under those conditions and use it as a building block for the next run. As the day goes on, typically the track improves, the weather conditions improve, and I want to start off with a run I know I can make. Because without that run, if you go out there and try to be a hero and you lose your first run, you come back with no data other than that didn't work. So I would take notes religiously on bumper to bumper of the car. And like I say, I'm over there plugging in different chips. You know, we didn't have digital stuff back then. I had Digiset and a slew of retard chips. And I would just go through there and say, okay. We went to some really terrible tracks at times. And I would pull the timing out for the first and second system on the first retard, and then the second one have little to no retard in it just to get it off the starting line because I didn't have the luxury of a digital box. So that may be the position some guys are in right now. Some of what we talk about may be more sophisticated than their point in which they're at racing. But like for myself, I started in that same spot, you know, with an 11-second car. Then I finally put a car together that ended up being a 7-second car that was beyond my driving skill, so I put somebody else in it to go race and be competitive, and they would come back, and I'd say, hey, Corky, what'd it do? And he'd give me the feedback on what he felt with his 30 years of driving experience behind him, and then I'd make the tuning changes on the car. And that's all we had. We didn't have a computer screen or anything like that to look at. You know, and we were talking about cars that on 10.5s with ladder bars, 3,000 pounds, we could go high fours back in 2001, 2002. So they're not superstar fast, but for what we had for information back then, they were really making pretty good runs. And that was just, you know, but seat of the pants feel from the driver and keeping good notes as a tuner or crew chief as the role I took on at that point. And, you know, we always had a logbook of good, consistent notes that we could fall back on with either our weather station, our track temperature, our wheelie bars. Like I said, bumper to bumper on the car, we had notes for a way we were going to set it up. That goes along with shock settings and everything else that we change nowadays with these computerized feedback that we get. You can still do it. You just have to be better note taker than what you have to be with the race pack nowadays.
I agree completely.
So you're basically saying just basically take good notes on everything.
Get out a pen and paper rather than a computer and record all of the stuff that's pertinent to your race car. And don't forget that book at home sometimes and bring it sometimes. I mean, that's your logbook, that's your computer, that's your Bible. And, I mean, I've went through buying and selling race cars before that. That was a big key to get all those notes from somebody that when we're buying or selling the car, hey, that comes with it, right? You know, I want that logbook of information that, you know, how the car was set up at these different conditions, because, you know, that's what we're buying into, is a proven combination. Or like you say, if you got a race locked in and you got to run off the trailer, you got to be able to fall back on something more so than just an opinion or a gut reaction, or the guy parked next to you says the track's pretty good. Well, you know, his pretty good 6-second car and your, you know, what you need to go make a 4-second pass is two different stories. So you're responsible for your own outcome. Take good notes and, you know, be your own man, so to speak, rather than relying on, you know, somebody else's opinion, so to speak, on these cases.
Well, that's Chris' side. Jim, what's your take on it? You know, would you go
First of all, absolutely never go out. I never go out and make the first hit full tilt. You know what I mean? Even if you think you got your arms around it, to go out there and make, like Chris said, and I would point this out to anybody, is if you spin the tires on your first attempt or any attempt, you really learned nothing. You know, a wasted run gets you no data. So the first thing you need to do is get down the racetrack and then build from there. Now, you may get to a point where you overstep your boundaries, then you know, okay, I have data, I'm going to take a step back. I just went a little too far. But as far as if you're going to run somebody off the trailer and you've never been to the racetrack, you pointed out a scenario that's kind of familiar to me. You run someone off the trailer, they've never been to the racetrack with their car before, and they may have a little faster car, but they've never been there before. It reminds me a little bit of my buddy Matt Sweet, DC Sniper. And unless you're Matt Sweet, you couldn't win that race. But somehow, he's a smart enough guy that he outsmarted us and beat us in those conditions. We're at a racetrack that we run all the time. We know what to put in our car. We're running our tune-up that we know off the trailer that we can go down with and run a good number, a solid number.
Who is he
number.
Racing, Jimmy?
He's racing me.
I thought I'd shed a little humor on our technical talk.
And that's why I brought it up. He was racing me, and we knew he had a faster car, but we put him in a situation where we're going to let him race us off the trailer. We think, you know, at least that time, and I believe to this day, that he had never at that point ever brought his personal car to Bradenton and raced at that track, especially in those conditions, and we ran him off the trailer. Now, by God, he threw a number on the board, well, on the time ticket, that man, we just couldn't beat, and he did it off the trailer out of nowhere. So unless you're as good as he is, or as lucky, I'm not sure which, I think it's good, but, you know, you really shouldn't get yourself in that situation. But he proved that you can win a race in that situation, and I proved that can outsmart some people. So that was an interesting one. So it cost some money, but lesson learned. Don't mess with guys that are smarter than you.
Redman, Jimmy, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to sign off for a little while. I've got some business to take care of here at the shop. But just wanted to add to shed a little bit of light on a couple of topics of things that I look for in this scenario. And you're in good hands with Jimmy to elaborate on the things that he looks for in those aspects in tuning a race car or whatnot. But as an engine man, those are the things that I'm looking for. If I get some free time here in a little bit, I can sign back on maybe for some phone calls. But at this moment, I'm going to have to move on and handle some business. So thanks for the opportunity, guys, and we'll speak to you real soon.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Chris. Well, there you have
it. All right. With that being said, we win some, we lose some. What do we got any callers online with some questions?
No, not right now. Everybody basically still hit over the head about that race pack. You know, I wouldn't mind taking some calls. Most of the callers we have, do y'all have any? Do y'all have the race pack system? Have y'all tried it? Hit the one button and let us know what you think. If you have a recording system or if you're looking to get one, we could put you to the right people to test it out. I mean, I know that I have the I have race pack. It's not the 300V, but it's the sportsman thing. It's still it has what you need on it right now, don't it, Jim? Is that a good starter kit?
That is a good start, and Chris and I talked about this, and I think what we're going to try to do is get Roger from Raceback. If everyone's interested, if there's an interest out there for the callers, we can get Roger from Raceback lined up to do a little informative deal from him as far as the difference between the V300 and the Sportsman, the sensors that need to be more wish list items than the primaries, and kind of inform everyone on what, you know, what you should, what are your primary things and what we think they are and what exactly, and get some more insight from the professional who designs, builds, and represents this stuff day in and day out. So if there's an interest out there, maybe we can schedule Roger from Raceback to get on here with us maybe next week. I don't want to do it if there's not, you know, if there's not a real interest in it. But if there is, we can probably set that up.
Okay, dope. Well, with that being said, that'll do our tech talk for this morning. We're going to go into the announcements. If y'all will hold, we need to go to a commercial break, and then we'll be right back with you and coming back with our announcements. Going to a commercial.
Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs. Being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon. Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudge Book will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers, find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in Grudge Inc. Grudge Book.
We are back. Sitting up here playing with this board. We're getting ready to open up our lines for a discussion on anything y'all want to discuss. Let me get a little music in here. Y'all have any, uh-oh, we got somebody. Hold on, that's what I'm talking about. Let's get on in here. Call up 404-6057. Your mic is hot. Welcome to the Bridge Man One Time Show. How are you? Hello? 6057, your mic is hot. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about y'all this morning?
Oh, just fine. How can we help you?
I'm just listening in. I'm not wasting time getting it on it, so I'm just listening in.
Okay. Where you calling out of?
I'm on the road now. I'm 16 going to Savannah, Georgia.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. I saw your hand. Maybe you pressed the one button. I ain't trying to go to no mics, but when you hit the one button, it'll send a flag up for you saying that you want to talk. So, but thank you for listening. Going back to music.
Okay, I'm just lost.
Oh, my bad. I cut him off. I didn't mean to do that, bro. But if y'all have any questions right now, y'all want to talk about anything, let me go ahead into the announcement. October the 11th and 12th. That's the next upcoming race. We got the Mike Hill Showdown in Jackson. Y'all know right there, the same month of October, the 19th and 20th. We got the Cold Killer Extravaganza. They got a lot of races locked in for that race as well. And October the 26th, you got the Trick or Treat Shootout in Holly Springs, Mississippi. Well, that's going to be a pretty good race too, man. They got some pretty big races locked in and lined up for this month of October. coming up. Those are the announcements. If y'all, if we have any promoters on that would like to throw their races in or where they're going to be at, this is the time to hit the one button. I can get you in and let us hear from you. It'd be greatly appreciated. Winning my buddy Mark Armstrong. I want to send a shout out to you for winning a 7-0 and open comp at Donald Duck shootout down that they had this weekend. It made that brother won two different classes. Great, great, great show out. He did a great job. Mark Armstrong, one time. From the bread, man. Also, Tim, I did see you participating. Great job. For all you winners that participated down there at Donald Duck's race, congratulations from the bread, man, Jimmy Marino and Chris Yo. You know, y'all put on a great show for everybody. If y'all don't have any questions, we're going to ease on out of here. I'm going to go into the last part of the show. The motivational of the week, if you know, hit the one button, we'll get you in. Otherwise, we're going to close a statement. So y'all can hear. All right, we back. I don't see any hands up. Jimmy, you got anything you want to say, Jim? I'm going to go into the closing statement.
Just want to say congratulations to some of the, you know, some heavy hitters did really well this weekend up in Georgia, especially Candidio Sanchez down here in Miami area. Outlaw Drag Radio versus the World ended up in the final round. Had a little issue getting down the track in that final round. I don't know if they stepped it up or what happened there, but they looked good. Congratulations to all the all the people who did well up there, and that's about it. Look forward to seeing you in some of the races.
All righty. That's Jim Marino. Just hold still. I got one hand up. Caller 678-3604. You got your hand up? Morning time. Getting over there. Well, yeah, hey, sometimes it's still Monday. They still shocked over the weekend, all that good racing. We thought they'd have some questions looking at all them different people they had. I don't know, my buddy from Detroit ain't called, ain't hit the one button. He normally get a shout out, but he didn't today. I guess he ain't on. But with that being said, we'll go on in. Closing statements, closing motivational speech. Goes as so. Never hesitate to pour out your heart to God. In your days of trouble, you will find prayer is the shortest route between you and God. So love God's shadow because it is better than man's light. Oh, we got it. There he is. Hold on. As soon as we said that, Jimmy, somebody throw their hand up. Good God Almighty. 313-5727. Good morning.
Yeah, this is from Detroit. I just called and holler at you, and I'm listening to you. Good program. Just a little bit over my head, but I'm learning.
Well, hey, you know, this is when we have guys on there, you know, my dad always told me, always have someone in your circle smarter than you. Because you always
no
want to, you know what I mean? And
a lot
of times, with that being said, if they're speaking over your head, press the one button and say, hey, explain to me what you're talking about. Be that one to step up. That's how I learned. I know these guys be sounding all, you know what I mean, critical or whatever, but believe you me, I have them on here for a reason. They can go to any level of racing. Don't be afraid of listening at this high-dollar talk. Guess what? They started the same place we did, right there at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, caller, if we're talking, you know, if we're talking stuff that maybe you don't understand, you know, there's definitely ways we can help teach it. And, you know, it may be, and a lot of people, it may be, regardless how fast your car is, getting a tuner, a qualified tuner to the track and letting them show you not just how we talk about general statements, but show you some stuff on your own car that you can build off of and learn. And believe me, I did it when I was learning, and it was money well spent. It was time well spent, and it's definitely beneficial. You know, a lot of people say, man, I don't have the money to pay for a tutor, but the time you go, I can guarantee you this, what it costs you to go to the track, test and tune three times and maybe not learn nothing and just do what you always do, will pay for a tuner to go to the track with you one time, and you'll probably walk away. If you pick the right guy, you'll most likely walk away with information it might have taken you a year to learn. So just keep that in mind. You know, I'm not trying to get you to spend money with a tuner of any sort, but like Budman said, surround yourself around people who know a little more than you do, and before long, you'll know what they know.
Sure will. But you can, you know, brought everything in perspective when you start talking about, you know, how you started. And I say, okay, well, that brings everything together. So
let me tell you something. It wasn't a few years ago, and it's been a few years now, but we came out, me and my dad came out with the car, and we spent some money, and we did what we had to do and all that. And then we get there, and we don't know what to do with what we got. And I met people like Chris Nelson and Hank Hill and some good guys who really I owe everything to as far as teaching me what I know. And like Chris said, I still to this day call him, and I'll be at the racetrack, and I have the benefit of having his home line and his cell phone, but I'll call him all hours and say, Chris, I need your help. Or Hank, this is what it's doing. Tell me what you think. This is what I think, and bounce stuff off those guys. To this day, I do it all the time, and that's what I talk about. Surround yourself with people smarter than you. I do it to this day, and I don't know everything. I just know who to call and ask when I don't know. So
all right.
Yeah, keep that in mind.
Detroit, what did they call you up there? I mean, we got to give you a name because, you know, it's just, you know, you call, you've been calling since the show started, and I never put a name on you. What did they call you up there?
People call it Detroit right now.
Okay.
Okay.
He's got the whole state.
Yeah, I know.
He's
you
not
know
a man in the state. He is the state.
Well, hey, we got Detroit. Thank you for supporting us, man. We can't do this show without y'all hitting the one button and giving us y'all questions. This is how y'all show love to us, by allowing us to just conversate with y'all. That's why we do this show, to engage in conversation with you guys. So we want to thank you for supporting the show since it started, man. I appreciate it, Detroit.
Thank you, sir. I thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Oh, we got Jim. They hitting them. They hitting it now, Jim. Good God Almighty.
Oh, we're getting kicked off now.
Yeah, 678-0758. Yo, mic is hot. Morning time.
What's going on, baby, man, everybody?
Oh, what's going on?
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Check this out. What about if you were paying a tuner to go to the track, what you feel like a fair price should be, you know what I mean? Or, you know what I mean, since you don't want to just, I know y'all won't just say somebody just charge you some stupid amount of money, just go to track, you know. And would it be somebody just say, would you get somebody to tune on big block, tune on small block, or vice versa?
No, I believe nitrous, you know, there are some tuners out there can tune, whether it be a blower car, nitrous car, turbo car. There are some guys really, really good, really knowledgeable, really. And you're paying for the quality of the tuner and the experience they have. That's ultimately what you're paying for. To answer your question on a price, you know, if they're a local guy, you know, not traveling too far, you know, where they're gonna be able to drive to you and go home and sleep in their own bed that night, I'd say anywhere from expenses plus say $250 a night.
Right.
A day, a full day at the racetrack. You know, I mean, you know, if I go to the racetrack with somebody, $250 a day plus expenses, you know, entrance to the track, and if they're driving 2 hours away, fuel and all that kind of stuff. That'd be pretty average. I do it cheaper for some guys. You know, I'll do it in some situations for a lot less. You know, if I'm going to be out at the track anyway and all that. So, or, you know, but if you got to pay someone more than, you got to pay someone $500 a day or something to come out there and just advise, you know, they better be, you know, it really comes down to what do they bring into the table. So there's guys out there that I don't know, but I've heard a lot of great things, like a Billy Stockland, who, if he charged you, from what I've seen and heard of the man, you know, if he charged you $1,000 a day, he'd be getting a hell. It'd be worth the money. He'd be well worth the money. You know, so you're paying for knowledge. That's a guy who I've heard of cars he's tuned and can tune a blower car, a nitrous car, turbo car. It don't matter. You know, so it really depends on the rate of tuner. But someone like me, $250 a day, plus expenses.
All right. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thanks for your question, caller. Next caller. Caller number 678-5450.
5450.
You mic is hot. Morning.
What's up,
Brad?
It's Lil Stroker, man. What's up?
Oh, Lil Stroker. You on speakerphone, Lil Stroker? Right now. Hard to hear. There you go.
Hold up. Yeah, it's phone cutting in and out.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here, Brett. Can you hear me?
Yeah, everybody. This is the guy who I was shout out to. We call him Lil Stroker. His name is Mark Armstrong. He won the Open Comp and 7-0 heads-up race down in South Georgia Motorsports this weekend. The champ. Hold on a minute, Lil Stroker. I gotta throw you in here. Hold on 1 second.
Time I check your show out, man.
Oh, okay. You realize there's a whole lot more going on than what you thought, huh? But we can use your definitely all of the experiences that you may have. There's some callers on here that perhaps probably didn't know that, you know, how we started out, Lil Stroker. We go way back. We had open helmets, y'all. We had some open helmets and running 750s in the 8th mile. So y'all know we come a long way. No question is a little question. Don't be embarrassed if you don't run fast. This show right here is about knowledge, not about speed. So, Lil Stroker, with that being said, man, thank you for calling. I was glad to be able to get you in here and let everybody here, champ, come on here. Hey, you know the number now. Call anytime. He's talking about Southern Truck Parts. You better throw them in there, Lil Stroker. You know you're supposed to put a plug
well,
in.
Yeah, well, you know, well, let me throw in a new name is Southern Diesel Performance. You know, they changed up to Southern Diesel Performance now.
Okay.
It is. Kenny, see that? I'm looking out for you, Kenny. You need to look out for me, Kenny. Little stroke of appreciation.
All right. Well, we'll be in Carolina in 2 weeks.
Nope. That sounds good. Mike Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Edenton has one this weekend, I believe, on Saturday.
Okay. Well, we look forward to seeing you at the races, sir.
All right, man. You take care.
Hey, going right to mute. Next caller, 678-8163. Welcome to the Bread Man, Jimmy Marino and Chris Nelson Show. How you doing this morning, caller?
Good morning, Brad. Good morning. Good morning, Jim Marino.
Good morning.
How you doing, sir?
I got two questions for y'all. One is dealing with a spark plug on a small block Ford, NGK-10 and an NGK-11. I'm trying to find out, you know, the difference in those two, what would be better for
me. The 10 plug is a little hotter of a burn than an 11 plug and goes down. So when you're using a lot of nitrous, like on a Pro Mod motor, we run 11 plugs, number 11 plug, which is the coldest heat range because we're creating a lot of heat in the cylinder. If we were running the same motor on muscle, no spray, we'd probably run a 7 or 8 plug to create more cylinder temperature and get a more complete burn. So the difference between a 10 and an 11 is really going to come down to how much nitrous you're putting in the motor. And it really comes down to you're going to create heat with air fuel mixture. You're going to create heat with timing, and you're going to create heat with the heat of the spark plug. You want to get it's a balance. There. You want your air fuel mixture to be right. You want to be able to run as much timing without detonating, without creating detonation. And at that point, you want to have the plug read good and the burn temperature, which you can read on the electrode or the spark plug, to be good. So it's a fine balance of the three to get the perfect tune-up. If you can give me an indication about how much nitrous you put down, I can tell you from experience what I think you should be running.
Between 300 and 400.
I put the 10 plug in it.
Okay.
I put the 10 plug in it. If you were running, you know, say it's two 200 shots or 300 and a 100 or 250 and a 150, the 10 plug's probably fine. If you start getting up much higher than that, and you're going to go to the 11 plug to cool the temperature down. So you're going to create cylinder temperature with how much you're putting in it, how much fuel you're adding to it.
Okay. And
if you ran a 10 plug and it on muscle, it would just slow way down. You wouldn't get a hot enough burn.
Okay. So running, if you ran in a car on muscle, just, you know, to try something, what plug would you suggest for that same application, basically?
I'd throw a 7 plug in it, or 7 or an 8. I mean, just to be safe, you can throw an 8 in it. I usually have a set of 8s in the trailer for a car that we're starting out just, you know, brand new, you know, repaired the chassis or whatever it may be, where we're just going to run it down on muscle just to make sure everything's going straight and everything else. I'll put a set of 8s in it. And run it like that. I have some cars that, you know, sometimes they run on some small tire cars, sometimes they'll get a race and lock in a race on muscle, and we'll run a 7 plug in a race situation or something like that there, just to create as much cylinder temperature as we can.
Okay. My second question was, you started touching on it a little bit a second ago with the timing. Same thing, what's a good base to start? I know you need to read the plug and all that, but, you know, what's a good base to start with as far as timing? Is it a Cannondale head motor?
What head is it? A Cannondale head?
Yeah, blue
like
bond.
A C head? A blue, okay. What do you run your base timing at?
Right now I've been at like 12, 13, but everybody I talk to say I need more than that, that I'm babying it.
You probably are with the amount of nitrous you're putting in it, but I wouldn't think it'd be higher than 15.
Okay.
Would be about the highest it would be, but I wouldn't go there right away without, like you said, reading the plugs. I wouldn't start there. I'd start where you're at, 12, and then start adding, you know, reading the plugs and adding some timing, reading the plugs, adding timing, and just every run, reading them, making sure you're watching them close. Because here's the thing, you have to tune. To start, you need to tune to your worst cylinder. And I haven't run a lot of the small block Ford Blue Thunder style deals, but they are, from what I understand, they're a little temperamental with timing. You can sneak up on them, but if you step over the line just a little bit, they burn up quick. If you stay on the right side of the line, you're very consistent, good motors, everything. But that Ford style head, apparently is, you know, it's just like when you step over that line, it doesn't have any forgiveness. So you just got to keep staying on the right side of the line. So I wouldn't, you know, I'd be very careful. Timing is the thing that hurts more pistons than anything. People mess with timing. So I'd start there, and you just need to have a fresh set of plugs, tuned to your worst cylinder, and then you can use individual cylinder timing to keep going from there and get to your better cylinders. Now, which cylinder is your worst cylinder can depend on intake manifold and other stuff. That is, I'd call Chris and talk to him about that, what his experience is with what cylinders to watch first on those. They said I just don't have a lot of experience with them.
Okay.
Where are you out of?
Georgia.
Yeah, if you need some help with it, you want to go do some look at some plugs next time we're at a race, you know, if you want to bring a set of plugs over or something, I'll be glad to look at it for you and just tell you where I think you, how far you think you can go. That'd be the easiest way. If I saw a plug fresh after a run, I could say, okay, in these conditions. Now, you got to remember, you know, this weekend in Georgia, the weather's one thing. A month from now, it'll be completely different, and you have to adjust timing just as much as fuel, more than fuel. You need to make a timing adjustment to accommodate the air temperature and air altitude, density altitude. So you're going to put a little more retard in it as the air gets better. And ultimately, you're going to read your plugs. And, you know, if you've got the ability, watch your pan vacuum and some things we talked about earlier. But there is no magic to it where if you get it set to run in the cool, nice winter conditions, perfect, it's going to be slow in the summer. If you get it really happy in the summer and you go run in the cool winter conditions, when it starts to cool down and don't change nothing, you're guaranteed to burn it up. And that goes for not just your motor, that goes for any of them. So you can find a happy medium.
As far as temperature-wise and good quality head, what would be the line right in there?
There really isn't a line. It's how close are you. How close, if your tune-up's really happy, but, you know, I want to say on the edge, but happy and fast and really good right now, a change of 500 feet of altitude, density altitude, which is the calculation of humidity, air temp, you know, all that sea level. If it drops 500 feet, if you're close already, that's more than enough to throw you over the edge. So it all depends on where you're, you know, really depends on where your tune-up is. And that's what I brought to the other call, Detroit out there. You know, it's, you know, whether you want to spend the money on a tuner, those are the things that somebody can come in and look at your program and in one day, you know, start to at least get you a baseline of how close you are, get you close and tell you, okay, in this combination, you know, we can feel the air. You may not have an air meter, but we can feel the air. It feels like this. You know, in a month and a half, it can feel different. You know, knock a degree and a half out. He can tell you where you are with your program, how close you are, and give you some advice on that. But to do it without seeing raw data and stuff, I can't really tell you a truthful answer.
Right. I understand. All right. Well, that sums up my questions and you know. I got better understanding now.
Good deal.
Well, thanks, caller, for calling in. We're going to move right along. 678-914. Oops. Just say the last number, 44. Welcome to the morning show. Welcome to the morning show, caller. How are you?
I'm great. Greetings and salutations, great man. Schoolboy. How you doing, Jimmy?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I have a question to piggyback on the last caller, and this is going to sound kind of crazy, but I think that somebody needs to you know, answer to this. I'm a racer on an extremely limited budget, so I don't get to test as much as, you know, some other people would. And I have seen in cases, regardless of where the guys are running on the motor or running on nitrous, that they tend not to use a NGK plug. So my question would be, if you are running something and you're not running the NGK, what would you run? Or does it really make a difference to what kind of plug that you run? Or is that just, you know, what you run? Or is it just like motor oil? You know, all of it's the same, but, you know, just what you like to use.
There's definitely different characteristics to the two plugs that I'm familiar with, which is the NGK and the Autolite. Those are the two that I'm familiar with, the only two I've ever race tuned on. And they seem to be the only two that ever pop up. So I'm guessing that's the other one that you may be referring to is an Autolite.
Autolite, I sometimes use a check in as well. I'm sorry.
Autolites are a little more money. They definitely have a harder electrode. Some people say, and I stress it's some people, and it's not me that says this, but some people say that you can, if you run an NGK because of the softer electrode, the metal the electrode's made out of, you can burn a strap without burning a piston because the strap will give away sooner. And where the Autolite's got a harder electrode, if you burn a strap on an Autolite, you're guaranteed to burn a piston. Now, I don't disagree with that some people say. I don't disagree that the facts of that the Autolite is a harder electrode and it's harder to burn and all that. But on the other hand, I have never been in a situation where we burned an electrode on an NGK and didn't on any plug and didn't burn it and didn't at least mildly hurt the piston at the same time. So I've never seen that side where you can burn an electrode and it's okay and it didn't hurt nothing else. Now, I've seen where it hurt it to a point where you could still run it to get through a grudge race or something like that and make one more run, but I've never seen it where we didn't end up going back and changing that piston. So Autolite is a, I want to say, better plug. Autolite has different characteristics. They read a little different when you're doing your tuning. They are harder, and you can definitely see your heat mark a little different. Just different characteristics.
Okay.
I've always run NGK because that's what I've always run. They're a little less money. They suit the purpose that I need them to suit, and I don't believe anyone's going to get on here and tell you, any motor guy, I'm assuming, and I don't know this to be 100% true, but I don't think you're going to get a motor guy to come on here and tell you he made 5 more horse by switching from an NGK to an Autolite.
I don't think it's, I mean, the reason I was asking that is, like I said, because my budget is limited. I see a lot of guys that use NGKs, they buy a lot of NGKs, so they file out easy. Like, you know, regardless of whether they're on motor or nitrous or whatever the case may be. Now, it may be too fat or whatever, but I just noticed that, you know, people use a lot of NGK plugs. If you use an Autolite plug, you might use a few of them. And I have used a Champion racing plug, which doesn't break down as, it doesn't even break down as fast as the Autolite. But, you know, That's to each his own. I just thought I would ask that question.
It may have something to do with the coating they put on, the cadmium coating they put on the metal, on the NGK. That may be true. Ultimately, you already hit on what my answer to that is you, it's not the spark plug. The spark plug is not the root of the problem. It's the being fat, you know, air-fuel mixture is the root of the problem. You fix that, and none of the plugs are going to pop. So, you know, and you know that already. I already heard it when you said it. You acknowledge it right away. You fix the root of that problem in the carburetor, and you don't have to worry about any of the plugs.
Okay. And that's what I wanted to, you know, want to ask, because whether you're running, you know, NGK or Champion or, you know, whatever else these guys are running, Autolite, you know, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, and that's something that I always wanted to know, but, you know, somebody out there may want to know that.
Yeah, I think I'd relate them all to different character. You'll see different characteristics when you read the different brands of plugs. They won't read the same. In the same, you know, you have to just understand the differences between them. But as far as fouling, never really dealt with that, because I would definitely fix the root of the problem first and get that carburetor worked out, and get that issue worked out, and you shouldn't have a problem with any of the plugs at that point.
I appreciate that, Jim. And Breadman, once again, it's always a pleasure, sir. You know I'm headed, you know where I'm headed, so I'll still be listening, but I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to go ahead and hit these next couple callers here, Jim. They hitting us up. 678-0758. Your mic is hot. Welcome to the Bread Man One Time and Jimmy Show. How are you?
All right. I got another question. So,
yes,
Jimmy,
sir.
Just say if you're not spraying, you talking about the plugs, the NGK 10 and 11, if you're not spraying that much nitrogen, you got the colder plug in your car. Would that hurt it or? Or you still be okay?
It's not going to hurt it. It's not going to pick up. It's not going to run as good, because you need to have temperature. You have to have heat to burn. When you spray the nitrous, when you put nitrous and fuel in there, you have to burn it. So you're trying to create enough heat, which obviously you don't want to go overboard with heat. So it won't necessarily hurt it unless you got a really rich combination. If you, like the last caller just said, you know, we were talking about the root of the problem being too much fuel fouling plugs, same thing. You run too cold of a plug and you have too much fuel, and that's a good point you bring up for the other caller. Maybe he's running too cold of a plug with the NGK versus the Autolite or the Champion. That may be his problem. A little hotter plug will help burn that extra fuel from it being too rich. If you got a rich combination and you run a cold plug, your rich combination compounds. You're able to burn less fuel. So it goes hand in hand. And that, I'm glad you kind of got my brain going on that for the last call. If he's still listening, I think he said he'd stay on, is, you know, you may solve part of your problem with that NGK plug maybe by going to a warmer plug that'll allow you to get a more complete burn a little more of that fuel that may already be too much in the cylinder, but if you can burn more of it, then you can get a more complete burn, you'll be better off.
Right. So how much nitrogen would you require if you're saying they put the colder plug in, like the 11 over 10?
I would say, and I don't know the math to this, and this is something I would personally, when I say I call somebody smarter than me, I would call Chris Nelson and ask him this personally.
Right.
But I'll tell you what I think from my experience and stuff. I'm sure there's a math calculation, and it has to do with cylinder volume, how big the motor is, meaning how big the motor is, cylinder volume, to amount of nitrous you're adding to it. So if you're talking small block, the numbers can be a lot smaller than if it's 700 cubic inches. So if you're a small block and you're spraying over, say, 350, 400 on a small block, I put 11 in it. If you're spraying less than that, I put a 10 in it.
Okay.
Something like that, somewhere in that combination.
Right.
But I point out again that that's still something I would call Chris in his office. Line is on, and y'all are welcome to call. I would definitely call him and give him a little more particular than you may want to do over the radio, give him a little more insight, and let him answer that of which plug with, you know, with what your cylinder head is and how big cubic inch it is and blah, 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 all that stuff.
Right.
What plug you should run, and they'll get you an answer for this more accurate than what I'm giving you.
And so, what about like the other guy was talking about the timing? What kind of time you would start with like a inline valve head for a small block?
Inline valve head to a small block. How much nitrous about?
We'll say about 300.
Say 300. I'd start down at, say, 14, and then work your way back up. You know, starting at 12 doesn't hurt. You know, that's a good baseline to start with. They say, I don't want anyone out there hurting the motors. I'd start at, say, 12 and just kind of read your plugs and work your way back up and see what's happy for your combination. And something I have to point out is, you know, the guys that aren't hurting their motors as much as other guys are the ones that are pulling their plugs, and even if they're not, they don't have to put a fresh set in every time, but they're pulling their plugs after every run. If not all of them, they have already figured out which cylinder is their, because they burn it up more often than not and more often than any other. They'll know which cylinder is their critical cylinder, and they'll at least pull that one every time down the racetrack, and they're looking at that one. Now, that doesn't escape you from all the other reasons you should pull all eight. But if nothing else, they're pulling that one every time and watching it with the air conditions and seeing where they're at.
Right. All right. So what about if you, like, let's say, if like, you're running your timing lower, you know what I mean? Would that hurt or not? You know what I mean?
Lower timing is not going to hurt. It's just safer. And I tell people this all the time. If you say, I want to be, listen, I don't have the budget to be repairing my motor. It's not in the budget right now. I'm not going to go out there and lean on my stuff because of my situation. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't run your motor rich because you're trying to be conservative.
Right.
Don't add a say, I'm gonna keep it a little rich because I don't want to go lean because I'm going to keep it conservative. You're not being conservative. You're being detrimental to your combination.
Yeah,
be conservative in the timing. Get your air fuel mixture perfect. Get that plug burning clean, both at idle and at wide open RPM. It'll help you maintain those plugs. It'll get you better plug reads. And be conservative with your timing, like you're saying. You can't, if you run a little, not enough timing in the motor, it's just going to slow it down a little bit, and it's going to run forever. I've hurt more pistons being too rich and getting a little bit of fuel between the upper and middle ring and lifting ring lands than I ever have being too lean. So there's too rich is just as bad as too lean. A little bit too rich is not safer than being perfect. Having a nice, clean burn is perfect. That's what you want to do. Be conservative with your timing if you're going to run your motor conservative. And then when you want to get after it, is all this is a timing change. Your air fuel should be, you know, maintaining dead on. That's what you should be achieving for.
Right. So how would you know when you got enough time in it? Well, that's all time you can stay in, right?
If you put too much timing in it, it'll start detonating and it'll burn up and melt the strap off the plug and burn a piston. You don't want to get there. You don't want to find out what's too much by seeing that.
Right.
Now you just spent a bunch of money. So the way to do it is every run you're pulling all the plugs, and you're looking where, and it'd be easier to show you in person, but we call it the heat mark on the strap of the plug. There's a heat mark.
Right.
And if you make a run and you let off the gas and kill the motor right away and coast around, you can wipe all the stuff off of a fresh plug, and you can see where the strap on the plug, the strap has a different color. It'll kind of get a goldish color, and then it'll change back. You'll see the color change in the metal. Well,
right.
It's no different than taking a torch to a piece of steel. And you let the torch off, you let it cool, you'll see where you can see on that metal where it got really hot and was about to melt, and where it was never got so hot. You'll see that change in color in on the metal. It's the same thing. You want to see the right before the bend, or right on, I'd say before the bend of the strap, you want your heat mark where it changes from where you saw a lot of heat to the transition, right before the bend, closer to the tip. And actually right in the middle of the bend if you're really getting after it, but no more than that.
Right.
So just by reading plugs, and it really takes someone sitting there showing you, okay, here, see this, this is a good one, this is, you know, and I actually have a plug to show people in my truck that we brought in some cars where, look, here's the air fuel mixture, here's where I can show you how to read the heat mark, that type of stuff. This is what you're looking for.
All right.
But that would be the way to do it, is to read the plug and see what the heat mark is. You can Google, and Yellow Bullet had some tuning information on it. I remember back a couple of years ago someone did an article on it and showed a bunch of pictures of spark plugs and pointed out, you know, hey, here's the, you know, and did kind of like a training thing on reading the plug. You could probably go on to Yellow Bullet and do a search and find that reading spark plug type deal,
right,
and learn a lot from it. And you may have to read it 2 or 3 times. I do, at least. Sometimes
right.
It takes me 2 or 3 times to read something to really catch on to all of it. But
right.
If you go back there, there's a good read on that.
Right. Yeah, I don't have any problem with it, but I was just wondering if I have anything else left on the table I can get out of it. That's why I was asking about the plugs and the timing, you know.
Yeah. Your timing's going to be your timing's going to be your biggest thing that you can pick up or lose power with.
Right.
It's also the quickest thing that if you step over the line, it's going to burn your stuff up. So
right.
It's really, you know, it's a really critical thing. You know, we'll make half a degree changes when we think we're really close. You know, half a degree, quarter a degree will make the difference. When you're really close,
right.
When you're not close, you know, full degree on each cylinder, you know, and you got to watch cylinders. And then you bring into that whole, if you're trying to work every bit out of your combination, the whole individual cylinder timing thing where we have some cylinders, and this goes for just about every motor out there, is some cylinders, you know, take a full 2.5 degrees more timing and be happy. And another cylinder, it's 2.5 degrees less timing, and it's on the edge.
Right.
You know, so gaining the most timing you can get in every cylinder will get you every little bit out of it.
Right. All right. Thank you very much. That's all I had.
No problem.
Thank you, Carl.
All right.
Going to the next caller. Thank you all for being patient. 404-1304.
Yo, Fred, this Hellboy. I'm on a shorty line.
Oh, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
Yes,
I had a question from last week I wanted to ask regarding cylinder timing. And you know I'm coming with some complicated stuff, too. So I'm picking brain. But my question is on these progressive systems. I remember the NOS launcher had a wire that you could hook up to, I think, the 7531 where it would pull the timing out progressive. What are you supposed to do on the progressive system that don't have that option? And how are you supposed to pull timing out as it ramps?
Well, that's not a hard one. Now, the NOS launcher having a wire that you hook to your MSD box to progressively control the timing, I am not aware of. And if they have that feature and I've missed it, man,
well,
you just taught me something.
I
hope they do. That'd be great.
I'll say this. That was going off what a tuner told me. I never experienced with it. But I was just wondering, you know, if it doesn't have it, you know, now I do know. But just basically, you know, how are you to pull timing out progress? I mean, do you pull it all out at once and just let the progressor, you know, just do the nitrous, you know, without even having the time to compensate? Or
well, yes and no. Yes and no. It all depends on conditions. I'll answer your question two ways. I'm going to give you two answers. One is in mediocre to bad conditions, I would recommend pulling all the timing out and control at once and controlling it with just the progressives because you're racing the racetrack at that point. You're trying to get down a racetrack and fill the road. You're trying to win a grudge race, for instance. You know, you're on a track that isn't great. I would do it that way. Now I take the same car and I drive down the road 4 hours and I get to use an example of South Georgia Motorsports Park on this past weekend, and I've got all the racetrack in the world I could possibly want, and now I need to get everything out of it. I would ramp the timing to make the absolute most power of every part of the racetrack as I possibly could, because you're trying to compete with turbo cars. At that time, I would pull on stage one of my retard. I'd pull a portion of timing out and say, let's say you've got a pretty big jet in this thing and you want to pull a total of 12 degrees out on this kit that you're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to use total 12 degrees of retard. I would pull approximately 5 degrees out at the let go when that kit starts to ramp. And then I would take another 7 degrees on a separate stage, on a stage two retard, wired to the same kit.
Okay.
And I would use the on delay and ramp it over. Say your ramp is going to be for 2 seconds. I would ramp it for 1.7, 1.8 seconds. From 0 to 1.8, I would pull that extra 7 degrees out on that ramp.
Okay, so let me think. Okay, let's say I've got a progressor. I'm leaving on 50%, ramping to 100% over 1.5 seconds.
Okay.
So you're saying,
and what's the total time you want to pull?
Let's just say 20 degrees.
20 degrees.
Yeah.
I would pull, say, 12 degrees out. I would pull 12 degrees out on the initial hit of it.
Okay.
And because you're leaving at 50%. And you got to remember, 50% on a progressive unit is not 50% of the power. It's 50% duty cycle.
Right.
Yeah, it's 50% duty cycle, meaning you're pulsing that thing where the solenoid is open 50% of the time. So your 50% is actually more than 50% of your nitrous. That's what I say.
Okay.
People don't totally understand. So I'd start at, say, 12 degrees at the initial hit on the one stage, and then... And this is assuming you got a 35-31 box. And then I would take the second stage of retard, which is also wired to the same kit, and on-delay it for, use the on-delay. So I'd have 8 degrees in that second one, and I'd use the on-feature to ramp. And you said your total ramp is 1.5. I'd go 1.3, 1.4. I'd have it all out before the last bit of nitrous comes on.
Now, you confuse me when you say the second stage retard is wired to the same system.
Yes.
Because if it's wired to the same system, isn't it going to trigger that second stage when the first one comes on?
Yes.
Yes.
When I say that, all right, you've got your pink wires, your first stage of retard.
Mm-hmm.
And your purple wire is your second stage of retard. I'd
wire to the same...
And run those to that first kit.
But have
now,
a delay
now
on
you use
the purple
your
wire.
Third stage of retard. Use your third stage of retard for your. If you have another kit after that, use your third stage of retard for that one.
Okay, but on the second stage, you were saying use a delay on it.
Well, it's not the second stage of nitrous. It's stage two retard.
Well, that's what I mean. The stage two retard. It won't pull out, but it'll start a delay from the time the first stage hits.
Well, what? It's not a delay, it's a ramp. It's a what that means is it's going to pull 8 degrees. If you use that on feature, it's going to start at. So when you let go of the button, you're going to pull 12 degrees out.
Right.
And it's going to ramp that 8 degrees from zero retard to 8 degrees at a steady basis, a gradual line from zero to eight over the time period you tell it. It's not going to delay that and then come on. It's a ramp feature. It's an on-ramp feature. So it's going to ramp.
Okay, you can just slow it down to where it'll actually be coming in by the time you're full on 100%.
Yep, so you'll be ramping the remainder of the timing out as you're bringing nitrous in. You don't want to get all your nitrous on and still be taking timing out, because then you're obviously, if you could do that, then you're probably pulling too much timing out. You'd probably, you know, if you're 1.5, I'd have it all out by 1.3, say. 1.35. That type of thing. So when you're chasing a racetrack and you're trying to get every bit of power you can out of it, that's something to do. But again, if I got to a racetrack where I was, look, everyone's struggling to get down. The winner of this deal is going to be the one who's conservative and gets down the racetrack every pass, you know, or I just got to get down. Let's pull all the timing out to hit and just be a little more aggressive with the progressive. You're limiting the less things that you have to touch on your changes, the less variables you have for error. And when you're on a mediocre racetrack, you don't have much room for error. So that's why I say that.
I got you.
If you're trying to get every bit of power you can, you know, you've got to do what you've got to do and add some parameters.
Oh, that clarifies that.
Does that all make sense?
I appreciate it. Yes, sir, it does.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right, Colin. Hey, and if you have, just let me throw something out to you. If you have any questions on how that on feature works or anything like that, there's two ways to look it up. It's all published in the MSD instruction manual that comes with the box or online.
Right.
It's also, if you hit the help feature on the top of the screen, it also explains it there. So you can go into there and it'll explain how there's an on feature, an off feature, a delay feature. There's all kinds of features in there a lot of people don't mess with. But, you know, if you just go read through that, and again, just like I told the other caller, something for me, I have to read things 4 or 5 times sometimes to really comprehend them completely. But if you read through that, it really does explain it all on how to work it all.
Okay, that'll work. That'll work.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks.
All righty. Well, it looks like we've taken care of most of our callers for this evening. I don't know if y'all have any more. The people who has not asked a question, there's still a lot of y'all on here. We do have a little time left to basically answer y'all questions. Jim is doing an outstanding job. With that being said, though, I'm going to crack a little music in here and, you know, go ahead and do a recap. Hold on a second here.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. I'm going to play the music first. Play the music first.
No, okay. I'm background. Go ahead.
Okay. Wasn't there a race at Darlington this weekend, grudge race? I know. I think the Gigantor crew, the Nasty Boys crew, was bringing the Gigantor car back out, from what I understood, and Tony was going to be there. And I wasn't sure if anything happened. I didn't hear anything, read anything about anything that happened at that race this weekend.
I haven't heard anything about it at Darlington. You know, we've basically been focusing on South Georgia. I want to definitely give a shout out to that Miami crew that came up. They look good on that internet. Boy, I tell you, that big low, hop the bread, man. Let me hold something. Godly. P5 them, crew chief them. I look forward to seeing them at Mikey on the race or one of them places, slapping fire with them brothers. Also, David Floyd.
I want to throw you out there. Man, good God almighty, you did an awesome job down there. Who else? I'm missing somebody, Jimmy. Good God almighty. Hey, just really all of the racers that participated last weekend, the weekend past, I want to congratulate all y'all, man. Y'all doing something a lot of us wish we can do. I know I do. It's great to see y'all on here. I wish I can just, you know, be there with y'all participating. I will one day in due time. And also, I want to say for the callers that are afraid or feel like they ain't got to that level yet, hey, we can all learn from each other. No question is too small and definitely none are too big. And we'll definitely try to, our aim here is to basically each one teach one. That's our aim. You know, a lot of times we feel as if things are a secret. And I think that with all of the yellow bullet, all of the avenues we have to learning knowledge now, it's out here. You know, using it is one thing, receiving it is another. So I wanted to throw that out there as well. I'm one for it. I like to study. And the way to study is getting on these talk shows, listening. A lot of times you may find that listening in, you may not be really honing in on what you're talking about, but when you hear it again, you say, man, you know, that's what Jimmy was talking about or what have you. So these shows are definitely good as far as studying is concerned. This is how we put in. So with that being said, Jim, well, we're going to go into closing, man.
Yeah, let me throw something back on that. I believe in not just paying it back, because I owe it to a lot of people who taught me what I know, the little bit that I do know, but paying it forward as well. And you know, a lot of these guys that taught me stuff, and I wouldn't know anything if it wasn't for them. And, you know, I think paying it forward to the guys who can learn it and share it with people beyond us. And you know, it's a continuing evolving thing. What we know today won't get us anywhere a year from now. A year from now, there's going to be more stuff out there, and there's going to be more information, and there's going to be and it's a constant evolving sport. That's what makes it exciting. But I definitely believe in paying this knowledge forward, and you know, regardless of what you learn on this show, you still have to beat the other guy. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't apply it to the conditions, to the what you're dealing with it that day, it isn't going to get you anywhere. It's all about applying the knowledge that you learn, and you know, beating us at the racetrack. I'll help my competitor any way I can, but he's still got to beat me on race day. At that time, it's all no holds barred once we get to the racetrack.
Well, we got one more caller. I don't know if I got him or not. I just want to make sure. 7881 63. I'm gonna see if I got him already. I just want to make sure. Caller, did we get you earlier?
Yeah, you got me. I just wanted to give a shout out to Chris Tootin, having one of the most consistent cars out there in South Georgia this weekend.
That's who we missed. Mr. Tootin, consistently a killer. That car was on a rail. Man, I am so proud to hear and see him getting that thing figured out and flying. That thing's out of control. It was very impressive that day, this weekend he had this weekend. Give a shout out to him.
Okie doke. With that being said, let's go on into closing there, Jim. What you got?
What do I have? A lot of racing come up. We're getting into the heavy racing season for all of us. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting back out there myself with my car and doing something. So we're working on that. And hope everyone's getting their stuff ready. It's coming up to the season where we're all looking forward to, and we're all going to be real busy traveling and all that. So get your maintenance done. Get looked ahead. And don't get to the racetrack and not be prepared. It's preparation time for the winter months.
Sound good. there y'all have it, Mr. Marino. Y'all can definitely, Jim, why don't you put your information out where these guys can get to you, man, in case they want to do some tuning. You put that out there before.
Absolutely. I don't think I've ever done that. The best way to get in touch with me, I'll give my cell phone number, but the best way to get in touch with me is I set up a separate email account just for stuff like this. It's Jim Marino Motorsports, JimMarinoMotorsports, Jim Marino Motorsports at gmail.com. You shoot me either a question or a request just to get on the phone, or you need any help at the racetrack and want to do some tuning, need some tuning help, that's the best way to get me because I have a full-time job during the week, so I usually don't answer my personal telephone while I'm doing that. I will give you that number. It's 561-779-7340. But like I said, during the normal 8 to 5 working hours, Monday through Friday, I usually don't answer it. And after that, I'm usually working on race cars and sometimes don't answer it. So that's the way it gets me on the, is to get me on the email address or leave me a voicemail. And do the help.
Well, there you have it. And thank you for always coming on here, sharing some type of knowledge for the callers, man. I don't know what this show would be without you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. It's Jimmy, folks. And with that being said, I'm going to read another passage before we get out of here. A motivational for the week. Whether you are on the mountaintop, in the pit of despair, or between God is there, our comforter, our healer, our all in. So write your hold on a minute, my little thing went out. So write your hearts and hurt in the sand and carve your blessings in stone. Hopefully y'all understood that. With that being said, folks, I want to thank y'all for listening in to another great show. And we will check with y'all next week, next Monday. We look forward to getting on here, doing what we do best. If y'all have any questions, write them down and make sure to get them in. Thank y'all. This is the Bread Man.